Thank you for our choir and orchestra. Also, Miriam and our praise band. Also appreciate all of your encouragement you've sent my way during the last week about our message on July the 4th, America, Will She Survive? That'll actually air today on our website. In fact, it's coming up right now because we're on a one-week delay, and I'm sure we'll hear more comments and repercussions about that. But I am very passionate about our nation being one nation under God. Well, something else I'm passionate about is prayer. And I want you to take your Bible and turn to James chapter 4, verse 5, and Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. When a Christian prays in the Spirit, we hear a lot about this, but there's a great deal of confusion when we talk about praying in the Spirit. So I want you to look, first of all, at James chapter 4, verse 5. It's sort of an odd-sounding verse. He says here, or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused us to dwell in us? He has caused to dwell in us. Now go to Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. We're going to spend some time in some other verses in Romans 8 as well. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. There was a pastor who had a practice every Sunday of having a children's sermon. All the children come to the front, he'd tell a Bible story. This particular day, he had a telephone in his hand. And he said, how many of you are familiar with the telephone? And they all said, all of us are familiar with the phone. He said, well, think about this. When you talk on the phone, you can't see the other person you're talking to, but you can hear them. Is that right? They said, yes. He said, well, that's the way prayer is. You can talk to him. You can't see him, but he hears everything you say. One little boy raised his hand and said, what's his number? I want to call right now. How many times do we find ourselves involved with prayer and we feel like God is 10 million billion miles away and doesn't hear our request? How many times do we get in situations where we don't know exactly how to pray and what to say? Well, I want you to know in James chapter 4, verse 5, it's an unusual verse, but very important. It tells us something about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He says, do you think that the Scripture says in vain? The Spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy. The Spirit that dwells about the Holy Spirit he's talking about and dwells in the life of every believer. Once we get saved, simultaneous with our inviting Jesus into our heart, the person of the Holy Spirit takes up residence. Then over in Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, he picks up on the same theme. But I don't want you to go finding all these verses, but I want you to write down Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And there Paul talks about this same subject of praying in the Spirit. And also in Jude 20, he talks again about praying in the Holy Spirit. And again in the Bible, we find that our prayers ought to be through the Spirit of God. Write this down. Aside from our salvation, that's the greatest gift we'll ever receive, now or throughout eternity. But our greatest privilege is that of prayer. The Bible picks up that theme in several different places. Prayer has to be laboring, it has to be loving, and we have to have a longing to know and do the will of God. But the Bible teaches if we're to pray effectively, we've got to learn to pray in the Spirit. So the subject I want to deal with today is being very sensitive to the Holy Spirit in our prayer time. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 of chapter 8 says, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. When the Bible says flesh there, we're not talking about flesh and blood. We're talking about that old fleshly nature that we had before we were saved. When we get saved, we get a new nature, but we don't lose that old nature. And they're at war with each other until the Lord takes us home, either by death or by rapture. One of the problems we have concerning prayer is we don't desire to pray. And the reason we don't desire to pray like we ought is because that old nature, we're allowing to win over that new nature, that new nature, that one where we to be like Christ. So what I want us to look at today is six or so enemies to us having an effective prayer life, how to overcome those, and how to make sure we're praying in the Spirit. The first thing I want you to write down is this, very simple, just write down, we don't care. You say, well, that's profound. Well, the first enemy the Holy Spirit helps you to overcome is indifference. Sometimes we have this spiritual lethargy. It just seems that we're not concerned enough to pray. Somebody said the greatest problem in America is apathy. You remember back in the 1990s, Ted Turner owned several television stations. One day, here's what he said. He met with some executives. He said, we need to raise the standards for on-air programming. He said, people are beginning to realize the total effect of watching so much stupid, sleazy, lousy, violent, exploitive television. Later, he conceded a level of apathy. A reporter asked Ted Turner, what are you going to do about it? He said, my networks run a lot of programming that I'm not happy with, and that bothers me. But it doesn't bother me enough to do something about it. No, not really. Sounds like he was pretty apathetic. That sounds like a lot of people in our culture. It sounds like a lot of us when it comes to prayer. Now go with me to chapter 8 of Romans and let's look at verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Who is it that is crying, Abba, Father, within us? It's the Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit of God, conversely, from us, loves to pray. Galatians 4:6, because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That term, Abba, is from the Aramaic, literally means daddy or father. Did you ever think about the great God of the universe? We like to think about Him as omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. We call Him Mighty God, the one and only God, the Heavenly Father. But here we find that praying in the Spirit, you can think of Him as Dad or Daddy. But the Holy Spirit in us is crying out in that endearing term, Abba, Father. The tender devotion, the tender emotion of the Holy Spirit. He's the one who does the praying through us when we allow Him to do it. It is the Holy Spirit that will give you the desire to pray in the Spirit and helps us to overcome that old nature and that carnal mind, and we've got a desire to pray and walk with God. Second thing I want you to write down is this. We just don't know. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Have you ever gone to the place of prayer and you've just gotten discouraged because you didn't know how to pray or exactly what to pray for? There are many things that we need to pray for. There's so many needs, even among just our fellowship. Sometimes people say there's just so much to pray for, I just don't even pray. Well, that's a sorry excuse. We start Wednesday night services back. We'll give you the Wednesday night news, and there you'll find that people that are requesting prayer, you'll find plenty to pray about right there. I made a commitment years ago that I would pray daily for those who experienced a loss in their family due to death for a year. So that's what I do in my daily prayer time. I don't write it down. I've committed it to memory. And when Delaney and I pray together, usually we have our quiet times together on the weekend, and I go over that whole list, and we get through praying. She said, "How in the world can you remember all these people?" I said, "Well, God gives me the ability to do it, and they need God's mercy and grace to get through the grief process every single day." Now, I could name those off for you today, and then I might miss one, and somebody say, "See there? He's just messing up in prayer already." There are lots of opportunities to pray. A lady in my first church called me. Her mother had been rear-ended by a school bus. Her mother was placed on life support. The doctors came in that afternoon and said, "Ma'am," to the daughter, "you need to make a decision by in the morning as to whether to turn off life support." That's a tough prayer. And then she comes to me and she says this, "Pastor, will you pray with me that my mother will die on life support tonight so that I don't have to make that decision in the morning?" Now, let me ask you a question. You think I knew how to pray? Absolutely not. You got to turn that over to the Spirit. And when the girl got to the hospital, the daughter, the next day, she walked in, the nurse came up to her and said, "Your mother passed away on life support during the night." That's not some prayer I prayed. That's where you just got to turn that over to the Lord and say, I just don't even know what to pray for. But I want you to know the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us and will let us know how to pray. Number three, the problem of weakness when it comes to prayer. The problem of impotence is simply the problem of weakness and inability. You ever try to pray when you got a dull headache? You ever try to pray when somebody has just given you a hard time? Have you ever tried to pray when the spirit was willing but the flesh was weak? You remember Jesus went into the garden. He asked three of his disciples, "Watch and pray all night." And what did they do? They went to sleep. Spirit was willing, flesh was weak. Listen, let me suggest this to you. If you're real sleepy, don't lie down in your lazy boy in a full recline or lay down in your bed to try to pray because you're going to sleep. I study my sermons sometime in my office at home, and I've got a new recliner back there. I got one of those electric recliners. Now, it doesn't stand you up all the way. That's for later on when I'm in assisted living. But it'll lay you back, and then it's got a lumbar support and adjust your head. And I have fallen asleep on many of my sermons, so I understand why you have that problem as well. Many scholars say that here, when he's talking about the power that's within us to enable us to have the strength to pray in the Spirit is the resurrection power. I don't disagree with that. We're all looking forward to the resurrection. The dead in Christ rise first, and those who are left behind here will be caught up in the air to be with the Lord. That's power. That's the same power of the Holy Spirit that is within us that enables us to pray in the Spirit. Sometimes our mortal bodies, physically, mentally, emotionally, we just don't feel like praying. I've had the real flu twice in 24 years since I've been in Rome, Georgia. One time I was in the bed 11 days. I was running about 103 fever. I couldn't quit coughing. And I had all the other symptoms with the flu. I'd try to pray, but about all I could say was, "God, save me. God, heal me." I couldn't think. I couldn't concentrate enough to pray. I remember when my favorite uncle died, Mom and Dad called and said, "We want you to do his funeral." And I thought, "Well, that's great." So it was on a Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. It was 35 degrees outside, and I woke up during the night on Saturday night with a stomach virus. I had to call somebody to preach for me that morning. I couldn't preach that Sunday morning. And when I stood up by the bed, I would just pass out. So I told Delaney, I said, I'm going to have to do this funeral somehow. She said, well, I don't know how you're going to do it. Started praying. I said, listen, get me cleaned up, get me dressed, and drive me out in the country to this funeral. I went out there, stayed away from everybody, and then it was time. The little church was full. Got up there, preached that message with all my heart. I wasn't able to go out to the graveside. It was raining, 35 degrees. Delaney took me back home, and all the symptoms, they just started raging all over again. Listen, my dad saw me later on, and my dad was my critic. And he's told me before, he says, I preached early in my ministry. He said, I've heard you preach some great sermons on faith, but you don't live it. That'll get you attention. He got in touch with me after that funeral. He said, son, that's the most powerful sermon I've ever heard you preach. Do you know why? It was not me. It was Christ in me. I'd been praying in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the one who energized me, that quickened my mind, and allowed me to share with our family at that funeral. That's what I'm saying He'll do for any of us if we depend on Him. God will quicken us. And let me add a word of practicality here. If you have trouble praying and you know you need to pray, praying in the Spirit means that God will quicken you. He will energize you. You can be praying, listen, you can be praying always with all prayer and supplication. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always in the Spirit, God quickens our mortal bodies. If you wait till everything's just right to pray, you never will. Then I want you to write this down, the problem of interruptions. The Lord wants you to pray in the Spirit, but let me tell you what happens. Even when you have your quiet time, phone's going to ring just as you get started. You're going to hear a text go off, maybe a Facebook. You got children, they're going to start screaming. They're going to start crying. There are going to be all kind of interruptions, and oftentimes, you know, the beans are burned, whatever's going on, Satan just attacks because he doesn't want you to pray. Let me tell you, Satan's not afraid of our buildings. He's not afraid of your church sign out front. He's not afraid of numbers, and hopefully in August we'll be back up to 700. The only time Satan is afraid of us is when we're praying in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us in prayer, and the devil knows that he is no match for the blessed Holy Spirit of God. And when the Holy Spirit of God fills our life and fills our prayer life, as we pray and we're praying in the Spirit, then the Spirit of God overcomes the interference of Satan. And Satan has to flee. We're also in a battle. We're in a battle over the souls of men, women, and boys and girls. And I'm going to tell you, God is the one that provides soul winning opportunities. You know what my prayer is for you every day? You say, oh, it's repetitious. It's meaningless. No, it's serious. My prayer for our congregation every single day is that you will live a holy and separated life and be a ready witness for the Lord Jesus Christ to lost people. You say, well, there's nobody walking down the aisles that's giving their heart to Christ. Do you know why? Because we're not sowing the seed. My dad used to always plant a garden. And sometimes what he called little hills wouldn't come up. So he'd go back down to Simpkins seed store and buy the butter beans or the corn seed or whatever it was. And he would go out in those rows where they didn't come up, he'd take that little hoe, he'd dig him a little hole and replant the seed and cover it up. And guess what? First time we had a rain, little sprouts were coming up. We've got to sow the precious seed with weeping, and then we will see a harvest. We're in a battle. It's not against flesh and blood. It is a spiritual warfare. That's why we're told over in Ephesians chapter 6 to put on the armor of God. But I encourage you to read all about the parts of the armor of God. But down at the bottom, here's what he says. He says that you need to pray. You need to pray as you use that armor, because the battles are won and lost spiritually in prayer. Then I want you to write this down. When we don't know exactly what to say, the Holy Spirit helps us to overcome that speechlessness when we're trying to pray. We don't know what we need to say. We don't know how we need to say it. Sometimes our thoughts just get backed up and the words just won't come out. Let me give you a good example of that. Sometimes with your children, maybe they've done a great job academically. Maybe they're growing spiritually. And husband and wife, you want to express some encouragement to them, but there are times that you can't do anything but just cry, because there are no words that really paint the pictures that you want so they can get that message. You know what I love is when parents come in my office, and I've had this happen twice just this morning before the service. And I have one couple in there, and they started telling me about all their children are saved now. And then they were trying to express some more, and they just sat there and cried. That's when you become speechless. And that's the way it is when we pray. Sometimes we don't know exactly what we ought to say. But then we go over here in verse 26 of Romans chapter 8. The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The groaning is made by the Spirit of God, not by us. Now watch this carefully. Contrary to some people's interpretation of this, these groanings, some people say, well, that's ecstatic utterances, or that's speaking in tongues. That's got nothing to do with this right here. Look quickly. Paul explicitly says the groans are not even audible and are inexpressible in words. It's not what we say, it's what the Holy Spirit is saying, and we can't even hear what He's saying because He's talking to the Son, who's at the right hand interceding for us at the Father. And then the word groaning here is the same Greek word about groaning accompanied by childbirth. Now, this is just a little different here. And Melody Penn, would you allow me to tell just one thing about you? We just need to have a discussion for a minute. I've been visiting hospitals for 40 years. And I remember when Alana was born. Now Alana's taller than me. And Alana used to come up to me in the welcome center and slap me on the back and almost knock me over. And finally, Mama Barr said, Miss Alana, said, Mr. Phil's a little bit frail now. Thank you, Miss Marjorie. And said, you really don't know you need to come up and tackle him in the welcome center. So we just hug to the side now, don't we, Miss Alana? And I'm looking forward to watching you play basketball. But I went up to Floyd. I heard that that Melody was in labor. And so I made my way up to the hospital. Now, when you go up there, that's a secure area. And you got to get through the first double doors. That's where the babies have already been born. The mamas have them with them in their rooms, and things are fairly quiet there. And then you got to get in the secondary secure area. Miss Amy, you know what I'm talking about. And so I buzz on there. As soon as those doors open, I hear, ah! I mean, all over labor and delivery. And so I went to the back, to the nurse's station. Some of those nurses know me. I said, could you tell me the room number of Melody Penn. They said, if you'll go around this way and follow that screen, that's where that's coming from. In 40 years, that is the loudest I have ever heard. And Demetrius, you came to the door and met me there. And I said, Demetrius, I don't want to come in. I just let her know we're praying for her. And I said, he said, I'll do that. I said, now where's Marjorie and Fred? They have left to go get something to eat. Good timing on your part. But all that screaming and all that pain, what are we expecting at the end? Joy. A precious little baby. Now listen carefully. You see, we're not screaming out to God. We're praying in the Spirit. Those groanings to Abba Father, Daddy, are by the Holy Spirit. And as we're praying in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is representing us to Christ, interceding on our behalf, we're doing this expecting what? Joy. An answer to our problem. A solution to our crisis. A blessing that we need so desperately. Our hope, our assurance is that God is going to answer our prayers. I love Tony Evans. I just can't hear him enough. I was reading the other day about his travels. He said over the last 20 years, he's flown over 2 million miles with American Airlines. He said, I'm a frequent flyer. He said, I fly about 50,000 miles a year on speaking engagements. Listen carefully. He said, they sent me a platinum card with American Airlines. He said, now let me explain to you what that means. He said, I'm 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, or 9th at the check-in line there where you're going to board the plane, and they're checking your tickets. And he said, they might announce, well, we have some extra seats on first class. And he says, what I do is reach in my pocket, and I just wave my platinum card, and they'll tell me to come on up around all these other people, and they'll say, well, Mr. Evans, it's great to have you flying with us again today. You're boarding with the first group. You've been upgraded to first class. That means something besides peanuts. That's real China. That's real food. That's first class service. So he said, that's where I get treated all the time. He said, I have an intimate relationship with American Airlines, and they appreciate me deeply. He said, but one day I was standing in line, and it was really long, and they announced there were no more seats in first class. He said, that's all right, I'll be flying coach. And he said, I had my platinum card in my pocket, and I waved it out. It's Mr. Evans said, if one of these first class seats becomes available, you first on the list. He said, then a man behind me pulled out a card in the line and waved it up there to the clerk, and he was executive platinum. You know what that means? He flies 100,000 a year. And they said, Mr. Evans, we're sorry. You're no longer first in line for an upgrade to first class. We love you, but we love him even more. He said, I wanted to slap him. He said, I had never met anybody with an executive card before. Some Christians are just, they're just complacent with the gold card. I'm just going to pray about so much, and I sure don't want to pray in the Spirit much because God's will might be revealed or what he wants to do with me. I just don't want to walk right that close. And then there's another one over here that, well, I want to be platinum with the Lord. And then there are others that want to be executive platinum. Very, very intimate with the Lord. Listen carefully. We need to make the commitment of abiding, or we're never going to get all the benefits that God wants us to have. We walk in an intimate, personal, close relationship with Him. Walk in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Overcome these enemies. And live a Christian life that would be a reflection of Jesus to other people. What's our greatest privilege that we have after we get saved? Praying in the Spirit. Use it. We stand right where you are, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. Just a simple reminder. But we get so busy, and we just don't ask you to guide every step at the beginning of the day. We just got other things we need to be doing, and what you want us to do is just take time to talk to you and listen to you and let your Holy Spirit empower, give us wisdom to manage the knowledge we have so we can live in a way that glorifies you, receive the blessings you want us to have, and we can give those blessings out to other people. If you're here today and never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, I'm going to invite you to do so. Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. He willingly went to the cross, shed His blood to purchase the price of your salvation and mine. Whosoever calls on His name shall be saved. Will you turn from your sins today and accept Jesus? Billy is here at the front with me. I'm going to ask Warren if he would stand on to your left. Maybe you're here today and you've already made that decision. You need to make it public, be a candidate for baptism and church membership. Some of you have been our guests for quite some time and you've prayed in the Spirit and God's given you peace that this is where He wants you to invest your spiritual gifts in ministries that touch this community, this county, this country, and around the world from a little place called Silver Creek. We'll write for you a letter. We'll take care of the details. But I just want you to do during this time of invitation, publicly and privately, what God has called you to do. We lift this prayer up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Ted's coming forward with the praise band over in the Contemporary Service in the Family Life Center. And then today, we ask you in the worship center if you'll come as God speaks to your heart. Maybe you're uncomfortable doing that now. Billy and I'll be at the Welcome Center after the service to meet with you about any decision you need to make. And if you're watching us on your electronic device and you need prayer or you need to know how to accept Jesus as your Savior, just call 706-234-1841. Leave a message. We'll get back to you as soon as we can. Mark's leading us now. You come as God speaks to your heart.